RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With Masterclass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With Masterclass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch Masterclass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from Masterclass to their lives. Masterclass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. Masterclass.com/audio.
Good morning, golfers. Your tee time awaits. It's the Tee to Green Golf Show here on WGR Sports Radio 550. Got a thought on the PGA Tour? Want help with your swing? Give the show a call at 803-0550. Tee to Green on WGR is presented by Woods to Wedges, by Michelob Ultra, by the Western New York PGA, by Custom Turf, and by our home clubs, Fox Valley, Tantara, and Briarwood. It's time to talk golf. Here are your hosts, Brian Cozio, Kevin Sylvester, and PGA Pro Jeff Metis.
Just after 7 in the morning here on a rainy Saturday in Western New York, we welcome you inside East Aurora Country Club, inside the beautiful clubhouse. It is the Tee to Green Golf Show every Saturday, 7 a.m. right here on WGR Sports Radio 550. My name is Brian Cozio. Thanks for waking up with us here today. Kevin Sylvester and PGA Pro Jeff Metis alongside as we are ready to give you the next 60 minutes and maybe even a little more here as we talk golf in Western New York as we are live at East Aurora Country Club getting you set here for the next hour. And yes, it hasn't been the greatest weather-wise start to the golf season, but we'll still get you excited to play here over the course of our show here today. Coming up in just a few minutes, we'll speak with the PGA Pro here at East Aurora Country Club, David Jones. And also a little bit later in the show, Drew Thompson, who's the great course superintendent here at East Aurora. And I think it's going to be a very interesting interview with Drew. Not only, I know many people may, over the years, have had questions about just how the golf course is run and taken care of, but with this weather being what it is, I think it should be a real interesting discussion. So that's coming up a little bit later at 7:30. We'll get you our Encore Golf and Cobra Puma Golf check of the PGA Tour leaderboard, our Champions Tour report, and all, of course, along the way, we give you the best news and notes and our opinions and our Western New York PGA Tip of the Week. Kevin, good morning.
Morning, Brian. You know, they make great rain gear. I own it. Most people listening own it. But, man, these are challenging times here in Western New York to play golf. This is tough, and I feel for everybody who makes their living off of golf and the tee sheets and such. I mean, this is This is hurting the golf economy, I think. And, I, everybody listening who's in golf, they're nodding their head
right now,
aren't they?
I'm in the golf industry, in the business, and this is not good for business. This isn't good for anybody. It's not fun. We had the rainiest April in recorded history. Even when you do get a chance, you do get these small windows to come out to play. The weather hasn't been good. It's been wet. You know, it certainly doesn't feel like Maine. We've been getting hammered the last couple days here, so we're off to a bad start. Hopefully karma will flip around and the rest of the summer will be warm, beautiful, nice, and only rain at night.
I want to thank, by the way, my plumber who made it important to get the backup pump installed in my house, because, as you know, Masters weekend I had a sump pump incident.
Issue, yes.
Luckily I was home the other day when the power went out and was out for 6 hours. You want a great workout, guys? It is bailing water from your sump well, upstairs to put it in.
Because, but now you got the backup in?
The backup is in.
Beautiful.
So, you know what? I'm going to give him a plug. This is an unsolicited plug, okay? PCS Plumbing. Thanks, guys, for getting it done. Okay. There
Good
you
job.
Go.
Keeping your basement dry.
Yes, let me tell you something, man. Anybody who's gone through it is nodding their head like, oh, my gosh.
Well,
yes,
the water tables are super high right now.
That's right.
We're looking out at your golf course here, and it really doesn't – I mean, I expected worse as we drove up here with all this rain, but it doesn't look too bad. Certain facilities, we got a lot of elevation here to get the water off the golf course, and that may help a little bit here, but some facilities are getting crushed.
Yeah, David Jones is here.
Yep, yes. PGA Pro here from East Aurora. David, good morning.
Good morning. Thanks thanks for having me.
Sorry, I just referred to him.
No, that's all right. Who's he talking to?
But your course looks very nice going. As Jeff and I pulled up, we were thinking, how much water is there going to be? It looks pretty good.
We drain amazingly well. When I got 1 year under my belt last year, I was told that. Last year, we didn't have to deal with taking water off the golf course. It was more of a challenge of putting water onto the golf course. So as my second year rolled in, to listen to how well they drain, really we do. If we get one or two dry days, we'll be out with carts. So it's an exceptional area. The topography definitely lends itself to getting the golfers out there sooner than later. So we're wet, as everybody else is, but we're also encouraged with the speediness that we'll be out there.
Yeah, I mean, it's one thing to be dry enough to play, but conditions, too. I mean, it's tough sledding, if you will, for the players who are playing out there. I mean, and play has to be down because of it, right?
Well, we had an amazing 2 weeks in March. So I just ran some reports, and our walking rounds are way up, of course. But rounds are down. Yeah, they are. It's nice not relying too much on public to keep us going. What does affect us, though, are just the overall energy. So, for instance, we had to make a tough decision yesterday to postpone our IJM, our International Junior Masters qualifier. We have a local qualifier that was scheduled for today at 12. Although we could have done it, we could have gotten the 30 kids out there playing, since it's a walking style event. The committee just looked at it and said this isn't the conditions that we want these kids to have to walk through. So fortunately for us, we had the week of March or May 20th open. So we're going to bring the kids back May 20th and try to solidify the field for the IJM.
And for those that don't know, the International Junior Masters is here every year. A great event. Has been here for.
It started in 1953.
Yeah, so
60 plus years.
60 plus years, and
since Jeff's birthday.
That's right. Since Jeff was born,
I played in the first one.
That's right. You did. We'll be back here. Our show will actually be here in a little less than 2 months for the event. It's such a great event, and I know that. You pull up here, and not only do you have the nice welcome, but I know it's the home of the International Junior Masters. I know, and that week we'll get a chance to obviously spend a full hour talking about it. But I know that from talking with you last year and a chance to get involved in that event here when you came on board here like that, I know that everybody takes such pride in that event that when it comes here.
It is. It's. You don't find – well, we're the oldest invitational junior event in the world. So you don't have that many opportunities to attach your name to something with that that character. So some of the names that have gone through, Trevor Immelman, Masters champ. I mean, we've had Rory Sabatini, Jim Furyk, our Ryder Cup champ, or captain. So just the future of golf, this is a hotbed for it when they come through. We're drawing from all over the globe. We've got some Australian teams that come every year. That's a long flight for them to get here, and they support us every year. I believe this year we've got a child from China. Iceland, Egypt. So cool. It's not just Canada and the United States. When we say International Junior Masters, it's truly an international flair to it.
And probably a good decision. You want to identify the best player in your qualifier, and in these conditions, you know, it'd be difficult to go out there playing lift, clean, and place. You'd have to play lift, clean, and place if you played today in your event, right?
Absolutely.
Is that what you were trying to avoid?
You know, you're always trying to avoid that. Mm-hmm. You and I, as PGA professionals, that's the one part of golf that you know you don't touch the golf ball. So, if you ever can. Keep the ball down. That's our ultimate goal. You know, we're not in it for, you know, TV ratings for, you know, the PGA Tour. They have to get it in certain time frames. So, you know, for us at local golf clubs, it's always been kind of my mantra that if we don't have to touch it, we shouldn't. And today, of course, we would have had to have done something.
You know, it's interesting. Ball in hand, they call it. Preferred lies, I think, is the official term for it. That's what they use on tour. They say we're playing preferred lies today. Here, if you're going out to play, or you know, if it stops raining, please at some point, you know, ask your pro, particularly if you're playing an event, a sweeps, or whatever's going on at your club, at your golf course. You know, ask, are we playing preferred lies today? And so you can get the. And the reason I say this, Graham McDowell, I remember at the RSM Classic a couple of years ago, they played preferred lies on. I think it was a Friday, and he came out Saturday, first hole, and picked his ball up to clean it, and they're like, uh-oh. His partner's like, Graham. It's not, so he incurred a penalty, and it wasn't disqualification, but incurred a penalty right there, and he's like, oh, totally fair. So always ask what's going on, but I want to have the pros explain here what that means, preferred lies and then preferred through the green. So, Dave, if you want to explain, you know, well, what that means for the golfer when they hear that term.
Yeah, preferred lies. You'll hear also winter rules when you're in the northeast of things. It's basically allowing you to mark your golf ball, lift it, clean it, and place it back nearest position, no closer to the hole. We put these rules in place in the spring, in the fall, when the worms are coming out. So just to avoid the mud, the water on the ball. Typically, if it's water only, we try to keep the ball down. But if the ball's collecting mud and making it an unfair play, then that decision has to come into play. You know, we say through the green. So, you know, that's fairway. Any closely mown area is how that's described in the rules of golf. So, again, it's not ideal, but it definitely does give us an ability to extend our season and extend our tournament side of seasons.
Now, there is the ability to play it everywhere that way, correct?
Jungle golf. Yeah.
Yep. Paradise rules.
Yeah.
Correct. We try to stay away from that at all costs.
Well, yeah, everybody would, yeah, because in the rough. But there is a case, and we were talking about before the show, Jeff, about if it's reasonable assumption, right? If everybody in your group sees a golf ball, the area it landed in, and it's not in the fairways and the rough ball plugs. You know what? But what is the ruling on that? If everybody sees it, you know where it went. What is the ruling on that?
That's a difficult ruling. I think the phrase they use in the rule book is known or virtually certain. It would have to be lost in an area that would be considered casual water. I think I'm not exactly. I'd have to have the rule book in front of me. Maybe you can help me out with this. But I know if you hit a ball and it's deep, you know, you can't retrieve it or you can't find it because it's in an area of casual water and it's known or virtually certain that it's in that area. I believe you'd get relief in that situation.
Because last week at the Zurich, they had the rain delay and there was that standing water that was just off of the fairways, kind of in the pine needles, and you can see caddies went in there, took their shoes off and everything, and. Well, they said they had to identify that it was in there at some point. So I don't know.
I know you have to identify the ball. There isn't. I know this is one of the things they're looking at the review of the rules. These things have come up. It's a tricky situation. They could call it the leaf rule. There is really no leaf rule in golf. I mean, not in tournament.
My friends
golf.
Like to call it the leaf rule quite a bit.
Bob Gaughan invented the leaf rule many moons ago, right?
It's like there's no lunch ball in golf either. Yeah.
Breakfast ball still counts though, right?
Yeah.
No, but it's if you're all right, you know, with that, if it's known and virtually certain, everybody in the group watches the ball, and let's say there's a tree marker, and hey, that went, it's short of the tree, we saw it, but it's just it's very muddy, you know, wet over there, and the ball, it's reasonably assumed the ball is plugged somewhere in there, but you can't find it.
Then it's a lost ball.
It's a lost ball.
Right.
Even though if everybody, because it's not a hazard or casual water, is that why it would be a lost ball?
Yeah, and even the... even the casual water rule, that's like, I think you may have to, you have to identify, that's a gray area. You'd have to, it's a case by case basis.
That's correct.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, known or virtually certain, there's no gray area in that statement.
Right.
It's virtually certain. Not, right. Hey, I think it's by that tree.
We saw it.
We
go
saw
there.
It go
okay.
there.
Yeah. So if your group is virtually certain, hey, the ball, we saw it land there. It's somewhere plugged in the ground. It's virtually certain.
That's when relief would come in. When there's no, I think, if the word I think comes out,
right,
the rule goes away instantly.
Right, but you say relief now. I can't find the ball.
No penalty at all then?
No penalty at all when you're taking known or virtually certain. Correct.
So that would be a new ball that you could put in play.
Correct. Nearest point of relief, and you have to take full and total relief, which is also a rule in this time of the year that when your ball is in casual water, let's say. And,
that could be tough this time of year.
It's very tough. You could take you back hundreds of yards to get to your full and total relief because you can't just get a better spot. You have to take full relief.
Yeah. Right.
And what is the difference where your ball is versus your stance? If my ball maybe is visible, but I'm standing in what I feel like is
what are you taking
not
relief
the greatest
from?
Conditions. That's what is that? Or is there any leeway there at all? If I'm standing in a spot that I feel like is mud, water, I'm feeling it in my shoes, and I'm like, when I swing, this is going to be a
mess.
Well,
A, you need new shoes.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that's
get
true.
Some new Pumas.
And relief would be granted in that situation.
It would be.
If your stance or ball or lie.
Ball. Okay, so it carries for both.
Correct. And when you take relief, that's, again, to that point. Your stance must be clear of total relief.
And it's your nearest point, so that may not be beneficial, depending where the nearest point of relief from casual water is. It may take you into the rough. It may take you somewhere behind a tree. You can't find, wow, this looks good. I can hit it from here. That's not how it works.
Right.
And the reason for this is, we're all posting scores. We're still in a posting season, so there's got to be equity. We've all got to play by the same set of rules. So there's reasons for the rules, and but it is a difficult one, like, especially when you have a spring that's as wet as this, and literally you can have hundreds of yards of casual water in certain spots.
So you hear the discussion we're having right now on the radio. Can you imagine the discussion that the USGA and RNA have together about these situations and coming up with language, as David, you mentioned, it has to be certain, that coming up with language that works for golf, that golfers can understand. That's why if you have a question, that's why it's you consult your PGA professional.
And your good PGA professional will consult his rule book,
right,
as we see the decisions book. So I applaud the USGA and Royal and Ancient for getting together and trying to simplify things, albeit we agree and disagree with some of the proposals that are coming out. But, to try to simplify things in this already complicated game is always a good decision.
And to modernize the rules. I mean, the game is changing, and I think it's time for a modernization of the rules.
Brian wants to mention East Aurora Country Club, but I don't want to move on the rules thing without getting David Jones, that professional here at East Aurora Country Club, and Jeff Meany's PGA professional, opinions on the latest talk about green reading books and materials, that they're talking about getting rid of those. What are your opinions on that? No, and most amateurs don't have them. Don't have the green reading materials to see slope and stuff. And I know there's been advances. I actually know a guy who's coming out with more advanced green books for pros to use, more so than what they get in the yardage books that they give out at every tournament.
You still have to hit the putt.
Yeah.
From my opinion there, I think if you're going to go down that path, you were, to Jeff's point, technology is advancing. The game is evolving. Yardage finders, laser finders. We're allowing all of that technology versus pacing it off. So if it seems almost counterintuitive to offer a technology in one certain part of the game and then remove it from another, when it's still execution. It's still, nobody has a repeatable swing that's virtually certain. So we need to make sure that that we, again, allow golf to be played at an amateur level that's fun, that can get us around. And I'm not opposed to opening my eyes to certain things out there that technologically speaking would advance the game.
And I would have to, I'll disagree with you there. I think the art of reading a green is integral in the game. It's part of what makes golf a great game. If you're reading those greens and you're getting the speed, when they boil it down, they can take a 3D dimension, they can map it out, they can tell you how much it'll break, 2 inches. They can basically tell you that right now with the technology that's out there. To me, that takes away part of the skill, part of the joy of the game. Does this go left or right? I just look at a book, this putt's going to go 4 inches from this distance. There's that, to me, that's a That's taking
away. Well,
what
books are they going to be allowing you to use in the course of the round? The notes that you and your caddy would take during practice rounds and everything like that's a little different scenario. Because
you dug that out of the dirt,
right?
In that situation, and
to me, that should be.
And
all of that to me is like you prepared, you did your homework, like you should have be allowed to.
You don't know
that
to be a fact, where you can do a 3D overlay and they can run these algorithms or whatever and tell you how much your putt's going to break from 4 feet, and you can just look at a book and, you know, there'll be numbers there. They'll put the whole position there for that day, and you can run a circle around.
You're saying of things that are produced that everyone would have access to.
Well, they wouldn't. Just the tour players are going to have access to that. Your average golfer's not going to have access to that.
Correct.
And you imagine how that would slow up play if guys were reading these books and trying to figure out all of
this. I'll tell you, I think it'll slow play. The books they get now, the company's Tour Sherpa, right? So we get them on the reading. Next week, the players, I'll get the same book that the players get. Now, the players, though, and their caddy will have that book marked up through the practice rounds and even through the round. They'll go. And you see this all the time if you're at an event. Let's say the whole location's in the front left of the green. They'll go and look for the other areas, the dots where the hole's going to be the next day. So they walk that off, and then they'll mark a spot on, okay, what would be the best area of the green to hit with the shot. So that's how they get their number.
And how long do those rounds take, those practice rounds?
But in the green itself, the book has, you know, all the yardage from the fairways and the traps, and there's all these different numbers on there, front of the green, you know, back through the green, front run buck or what have you. But the green itself, the diagram, it's not a three-dimensional diagram. It has arrows on it so to signify slope. So you'll have arrows going from the right side, left side, and so it's not that detailed, in my opinion, the current books that they get. But I know there are new materials that are topographical that have the three dimensions on there, and I think that's what the RNA and USGA is saying. Whoa, we need to settle down on that.
Because to me, that's advice. All right. Now, knowing your yardage, that's not advice. That's a fact. You know, but that's advice on how to hit this putt, and you're taking some of that out of the
game. I think you need to read the green. I think that and know, okay, I want to go two holes left, or this is my spot. I agree with that.
I think lasers speed up the game instead of asking and pacing off yardages from Rio.
So I agree with that too. Yeah. I think the lasers they should be able to use. Yeah. Not the slope that adds for hills. That would be advantageous out here at East Aurora Country Club.
Sure would.
To know that they use it in practice rounds to mark things off, but during a round of golf, if they just shoot the pin, I'm okay with that.
International Junior Masters, what do they have any rulings on technology for that?
We allow them to use their yardage finders.
Okay.
But above that, no. Just normal play as we go.
David Jones, the PGA Pro here at East Aurora Country Club. We're live here on TD Green on WGR. Brian Colziel, Kevin Sylvester, and PGA Pro Jeff Mitis. All right, we've just got a few minutes left here with David. Let's get our Western New York PGA Tip of the Week brought to you by the Western New York PGA, Growing a Giving Game. Let's talk about hitting a golf ball on a wet turf. We've talked about the rain and the conditions. So you know you're in the fairway, but it's soggy. So let's talk about maybe some of the things that you should be going through here as you approach your ball getting ready to hit.
Well, first and foremost, you have to understand when your ball's wet that it's not going to spin like it does when in dry conditions.
That's right. Good point. The ball is wet too. Let's make that point. Yes.
So as you're playing the shot, you always want to make sure that that you're playing more towards front, so you know the ball's going to release. Again, it sounds counterintuitive when the greens are wet, but the spin on the ball is what's going to create the friction and create whether the ball stops or rolls when it hits. Choke down. I like to get my hands. I kind of view any shot, especially in the spring, as trying to get my hands as close to the head as possible. It's almost as if you're writing with a pencil and holding it by the eraser. Your feel kind of goes away the farther you get. So when I'm playing in wet conditions, you'll hear the word cover the ball or trap the ball. That I like to get my hands a little bit closer, adjust my posture to a little bit more athletic, get a little down to the ball, and then play for less spin. But these conditions are they're uncomfortable for everybody, and there's no 100%. This is how you're supposed to play the shot when it's wet or when it's dry. Just recognize that everybody's playing under the same conditions. Probably the biggest part of playing wet golf is mental, is understanding that, hey, this isn't as fun as it's supposed to be sometimes. It's more of a challenge. And generally the guy that has the mental fortitude to recognize that it's less than perfect conditions out there will prevail at the end.
I like to, I like what you said. I like to choke up. I move the ball back a smidge in my stance, because I'm trying to make sure I get clean contact first. And I'll also take a little shallower angle of attack into the golf ball instead of hitting down steeply. I'll try to sweep or pick that ball to some degree. And I agree with what he said about mental fortitude. You know, I tell my college players, you know, if in bad weather, you got half the teams beat right now because half the guys don't want to be out there. You know, they're worried about the weather instead of going out and worrying about shooting a score. So if you go out there with that proper mental attitude, hey, it's, whatever it is, I still got to shoot a score today, I think that'll help you.
The only problem with that is the Royal and Ancient USGA are going to try to eliminate smidge from golf. So no, that's it. No, that's a good tip.
Absolutely. Our Western New York PGA Tip of the Week, again, brought to you by the Western New York PGA. You can check out all the great things that the Western New York PGA does on their website, westernnewyork.pga.com. I know that, obviously, the weather has really hampered a lot of events across Western New York, but I know they had some junior tour events scheduled for this week and some other things that I know are going to get rescheduled. So you can check out all the information on what's the latest with where the event is, if there's some rescheduling, all that sort of stuff, on their website, again, westernnewyork.pga.com. And when did the professional events start getting going here? Soon?
Well, Monday was supposed to be Brooklee.
Your first fun event.
Well, yeah. It's not the first one. The senior junior was canceled, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, that's correct.
That was postponed. The Brooklee is the scratch pro-am. That's one of the fun events of the year where you grab a really good player from your club and go and have that's been postponed until August. So we're off to a rough start, which is okay because I think I played 16 holes this year. So
I was not too disappointed when I saw that. But I'd much rather represent in August than in May.
You know what the good news about this weather is? You can really put the golf shoe companies to the test if those two-year waterproof warranties are really real, right? I mean, you can test to see if your socks stay dry out there.
You should wear gaiters is what you should wear out there, yes.
That's true. David, we really appreciate you having us here. Thanks so much for all your insight and opinions. We'll see you back here in about a month and a half for the IGM week.
Thanks for having me. It was a pleasure.
Great. David Jones, PGA Pro. Having us here at East Aurora Country Club. And before we go to break, Kevin, I know you see these kind of 50-degree temperatures, the low-hovering fog, and I think about maybe golf overseas in some of these events. And I know that one of our sponsors this year, Golf Away Tours, can set you up. You can have that sort of feel, although there's beautiful weather in Scotland and Ireland and other places
that, too. Well, the interesting thing, when I went to Ireland with Golf Away Tours back in October, the interesting thing was, hey, you could see the rain coming in, and then, half hour it was gone, and then you had breaks of sun. So, you play in conditions like these. And as Jeff mentioned with players, hey, you're used to it. You want to be out there. You're taking a trip. It's a great experience. It's all part of the experience when you take a trip to Ireland.
Wouldn't you almost want some bad weather if you're playing in Ireland or Scotland?
Yeah. If I ever go to watch the Open Championship at St. Andrews or wherever like that, I would want at least one day where the wind is howling and maybe there's some rain at some point, just because I feel like that's just part of it.
When your caddy tells you, oh, you got to hit it over there to the left, it's going to blow it back over, and you do. So it was an unbelievable experience, and everybody asked me, how was Ireland? Hey, experience for yourself. Get a group together, it's four of you. If just two of you want to go, but there was a couple that was playing in groups ahead of us every day. It was just a husband and wife that made a trip that Golf Away Tours set up for them. So they can do trips from 2 to 4 to 8 to 12, 16, and even bigger. They will take care of every detail for you. GolfAwayTours.com. TJ Rule and his staff do a fabulous job. It's not just Ireland, by the way. Ireland, Scotland is really big right now because of the Brexit and the way it is to the dollar. So Scotland, Ireland, South Africa, Caribbean, even some destinations in the States will take care of it for you. At GolfAwayTours.com. Tell them you heard about it at TD Green.
Live here at East Aurora Country Club on TD Green, Brian Colziel, Kevin Sylvester, and PGA Pro Jeff Mitis. We're presented by the Western New York PGA, Woods to Wedges, inside the Whirly Golf Dome. Hey, if you haven't had your clubs regripped yet for this year, do it. Go to Woods to Wedges, the best spot to go in Western New York. Michelob Ultra, Custom Turf, and our home clubs, Fox Valley, Tantera, and Briarwood. When we come back here, as we continue on from East Aurora Country Club, the great course superintendent, Drew Thompson, will join us here to let us know how he has this course looking so perfect with the weather being so bad.
Can you imagine how stressful this job is for you?
his magical advice when we return. And look, there's so many things that I know you've always maybe wanted to know about how a golf course is maintained. Drew's going to have all your answers for you here coming up next as we go on Tee to Green on WGR. Welcome back to Tee to Green, live at East Aurora Country Club. We're inside the beautiful clubhouse right in front of the fireplace. I just tweeted out a picture. Check it out. If you haven't been in here ever, it's beautiful. Check it out at BrianWGR. Welcome back. Brian Colziel, Kevin Sylvester, PGA Pro, Jeff Metis here as we roll on to the Tee to Green Golf Show. We'll get you the Encore Cobra Puma PGA Tour leaderboard. Check. They're at the Wells Fargo Championship this week. A different course. We'll tell you about that in a second. And also our PGA Tour Champions Tour report brought to you by Absolute Care. That's coming up in just a few moments. And we'll also look ahead to next week's Players Championship, which always has some of the strongest fields in golf, So we'll talk about Sawgrass a little bit towards the end of the show.
Kevin
will be there. That's
yeah,
right.
Very excited to be there for that. Never been, and looking forward to calling the action on PGA Tour Radio.
I know. Before we get to Drew Thompson, the course superintendent here, Kevin, we got a giveaway here for listeners. Listen up.
You know what? Putting's such a big big part of the game of golf. Which, by the way, all the info's up for the Duster Challenge this year. DusterChallenge.com. So if you want to see the details, registration will be open by next week for July 21st at Fox Valley. So in order to get your putter in shape, all right, we're going to give away a Sam Putt Lab fitting over at Woods to Wedges inside the Whirly Golf Dome. Bring your putter, and they'll check everything out with your stroke. Make sure you're using the right putter. If they have to make it a degree flat or degree upright, there needs to be some loft on your putter. Scientists have figured this out, and they will help you with the Sam Putt Lab. This is a $50 value, and the fifth caller, 803-0550, will win that Sam Putt Lab fitting courtesy of Woods to Wedges. Fifth caller, 803-0550.
All right, so get that in. Again, 803-0550. Nate will get your information, and then we'll give you that great gift certificate.
And we'll send it to
Woods
you. You don't have to pick it up. We'll send it to you.
We'll send it. Man, Kev, you are...
I'm sorry, Brian.
You do wear... No,
go
no,
ahead.
No, I said, you're such a nice guy. They don't even have to come and get
it. You know, it's
you're
an envelope
right
and a stamp. We can do that for our listeners, right?
Kev, the things you do for our listeners.
So they don't even know how one
they,
you're doing for,
they don't
right?
even know. That's right. Speaking of doing great things, Drew Thompson is here now, course superintendent here at East Aurora. Drew, good morning.
Good morning.
Hold on. Let me do my job here and turn the mic on. Now you can say it. Go
All
ahead.
Right, good morning.
Good morning. Now you're on the air. Drew, it's been a challenging, I'm sure, month or so with all the rain going on here at East Aurora Country Club. But we came through. It looks great, but you obviously would know better than anybody how much work it's been. What has this last month and a half been like challenge-wise, maintaining a golf course with record rainfall?
Well, it's been a difficult spring, as you can all imagine. We've come out of the gate earlier than we might in some seasons, and actually we felt as though we had a pretty good head start. And it wasn't just the rain. We had some early wind storms that really had a pretty significant effect on things. You know, you spend parts of your winter trying to make sure that the course stays cleaned up through the year, and then toward the last minute you get a windstorm, you start all over again. So going from that into what we have now, you just roll with it. We're lucky here. We drain very well. We have a really good drainage system, plus the soils are very porous, so we don't really have many issues getting out on the golf course, not to this point. Well, this morning's a little bit of an issue, but other than that, we've been doing pretty well.
Have you measured how much rain has fallen actually here at the course, or do you have, you know, comparable to maybe other years that you've worked in the golf industry?
I know that this is record setting. You know, we normally get rains that are measured in tenths of inches and not inches themselves. You know, over the past few weeks, we've had multiple 2-inch plus rain events, and that you know, obviously takes a toll on things. And it's not so much about us being able to get on the golf course and do what we need to do. We can find a way to do that. That's what we do. The issue is getting golfers out on the golf course, and that's really what we're here for, and that's the most important thing. So,
how much? And I'm guessing not direct pressure, but I mean, you feel an obligation, right, to your members here, and I'm sure every other golf course superintendent too. Like, hey, I want to get golfers on the golf course. That's what it's about. And you know, how much pressure do you feel in doing that?
Oh, well, you know, first of all, there is no place like East Aurora Country Club. Best membership of any place that I've ever been. They understand the things that we have to deal with. I like to think that we communicate with them pretty well. We're not hiding somewhere waiting for somebody else to do our communication for us in the grounds department. We get right in front of the membership and talk to them about what's going on. So from a pressure standpoint, from a membership pressure standpoint, very little. However, we put pressure on ourselves. We have a high standard here. We want to be one of the best in the area. And in order to do that, you have to be able to put that type of pressure on yourself to make sure that if there's a small window and you can get them out there, that you do that. So,
and here's a question. Were you able to aerify this spring? Even
yes.
With all this rain?
Yep.
So can you explain, I know there's a lot of people, I get this question asked in the shop all the time, why do we need to aerify in the spring? Just when the weather's getting good, you got to aerify. Can you explain the process of aerification or some of the things that people may not understand that you have to do as a superintendent?
Sure. Putting greens, one of the biggest challenges about putting greens, obviously, is your height of cut. I always challenge people that think what we do is easy to go home and mow their lawn at an eighth inch and see how long it stays alive. It's far different than any type of home lawn care. And in order to make sure that you have root systems that are going to sustain the type of beating that these turf areas are going to take, and they are a living thing with the traffic of golfers and the traffic of our equipment and all those types of things, you have to make sure that you have a good root system that has good oxygen exchange and has, you know, limit your organic matter content. And those are things that aerification does for you. You open up, you let the roots breathe, give them channels to grow, and allow moisture and things to pass into that root zone.
You know, it's interesting to think about aerification because, like, do you aerificate your lawn, Brian?
No.
Nobody does the lawn here. When I live in North Carolina, everybody did their lawn. I'm right. Like, what do you mean aerify your lawn? It was a difference in the turf, right. I guess. So everybody did it down there.
Right.
They do it on the golf course, but nobody does it in their lawn here
right.
in Western
yeah.
New York.
I mean, there's depending on what club size you're at, there's places out there that aerify their rough. I mean, we generally focus on greens, tees, and fairways, which are high traffic, high maintenance playing areas. It never is going to hurt you to aerify something. But when you're mowing your lawn at, you know, an inch and three quarters, there's a lot of things that can get covered up with a higher height of cut.
You know, the, hey, you've so, been to my house.
Yeah,
very nice.
Don't swing by my house.
Because, yeah, driving here, you can see how many people haven't been able to get into their yard yet this year.
So. I'm wondering, in situations like we've had here in Western New York, I mean, how often do you talk? And I think the commercials, by the way, are great, that the PGA professionals, the PGA pros, are doing for the Golf Course Superintendents Association.
Right.
Do you guys meet locally? Do you guys talk more in times like this? Hey, what are you doing to handle the water? How does it work with all the Golf Course Superintendents here in Western New York?
I had lunch with about 10 guys yesterday. We're a very tight-knit group in this area. The Western New York Golf Course Superintendents Association is a very tight-knit group. We get together very frequently. We talk on the phone. I can pick up the phone, and it's not just Western New York, the Finger Lakes Association in Rochester. We're very tight with those guys too. If you have a question, something that you haven't dealt with before, you can pick up the phone and call any one of these guys out here. We all know each other. We were talking before we came on the air about the Penn Hills Club down in Bradford.
They had all those trees down. The tornado that they think tore touchdown through
right.
that area.
I spent 2 years down there as a superintendent back in the late 90s, and the first thing I did the next morning was pick up the phone and call Dennis down there. Dennis Placco is a superintendent down there, and he's got his hands full just offering him any type of support that we can give him. That's the way we are around here, and the guys are very – very good to one another. So,
Drew Thompson, the course superintendent here at East Aurora, joining us on Tee to Green. Brian Colesdale, Kevin Sylvester, PGA Pro, Jeff Metis. Just got a minute or two left here, but just want to maybe, for all the golfers listening out there, if there's one thing that maybe, if you would say, hey, if golfers could just do this, it would help my job and help the golf course.
Not play.
It's so much better. Jeff, I didn't ask you. Like, what's look, everybody said, you know, we know, repair the ball marks, replace divots, and even different courses, depending upon where you are in the country, have a little different method for divots and all that. But, I mean, is there a one go-to line that if you just said, oh, God, at the end of the day, if golfers could just do this for me, I could have the course so much nicer in some sense. Do you have kind of a thing that you'd like to maybe, for all the golfers listening right now, kind of pitch to everybody of, hey, here's how you can help out?
The first thing that I would say is to come out and play. We love having golfers on the golf course, and if any of you out there haven't met your superintendent, make sure you get a chance to meet him. Buffalo Golfers are on a nice series on some superintendents in the area right now. But you know, if you can get them on the golf course to play, have fun, and you know, That other stuff is all been beat into their heads enough. They're either going to do it or they're not.
Like the carts. Like repairing golf ball marks on greens?
Right, exactly.
I would say carts.
Not hard to do.
You know, most damage I see from an average golf is where they take their cart on a day like this. Sometimes it's just common sense. Do you take your cart where it's really wet? Yeah. Well, you know, they're used to driving their cart anywhere, and that's what
especially from last year into this year. Last year was so dry. I mean, you could pretty much do anything you wanted out here, and that's the same thing for us. And now you got to pick your spots. And, you know, when you work at a private club like this, you know, the membership generally knows the wet areas, but they forget from time to time.
I got one more thing here, too, because it's a Western New York question. People sometimes get annoyed about, like, a frost delay in the morning. Mm-hmm. What's the thought process from your end on that? How – you know, when do you decide that? I know sometimes the green, you don't want the ball to skid, obviously,
walking on frozen turf will destroy the leaf tissue, ultimately. In severe situations, it'll completely kill the plant, but it'll if you have high traffic on a frosty turf area, it's ultimately going to cause some severe damage to it. So that's why we keep you off. And anybody that thinks that we like that is wrong, because we, you know, especially on like a Saturday or a Sunday morning when it's in the fall and you know you're only here for a couple hours and you've been here for 65 or 70 hours a week through the summer, and you have a chance to work a 4-hour shift in the morning and get out of here, and you come in and there's a 3-hour frost delay and you still got to get out and do the things. We don't like hanging around any longer than we have to. So.
Yep. Well, Drew, we know that you have the International Junior Masters coming up, 2 months or so from now?
Yeah.
Month and a half.
So we'll be back for that. And
the course looks great as always. Yeah,
yeah, it looks phenomenal. We love even just when we come up here for IGM week. You got the flags out and everything. Yeah. It looks great. So
there's a lot of exciting stuff happening here at East Aurora Country Club. So we appreciate you guys coming out, and we're going to do some work on the golf course this summer as soon as our construction company can get finished up at the park club. Obviously, this rain has an effect on that.
Well, I will tell you, it'll be a little while. I'm working there, and it's a little wet right now.
Yep.
But no, we appreciate you having us here. Drew, thanks so much.
All right, thank you.
All right, Drew Thompson, course superintendent here at East Aurora Country Club on Tee to Green. And when we come back, we'll get you our Encore Golf and Puma Cobra look at the PGA Tour leaderboard. Champions Tour report as well, brought to you by Absolute Care. And we'll look ahead to the Players Championship. That's coming up next week. Kevin will be there, so we'll have our... Why not? It's the fifth major. We do picks for the majors.
Absolutely.
We can do picks for the players. It's big enough. Nate, back in studio. Be ready. Have your picks. And we'll come back with more Tee to Green here, live from East Aurora Country Club. Thanks for being with us here on WGR.
Before you get to the leaderboard, mention two things. I played the Elixir. It's good. It's
the Encore ball.
It's a performance golf ball. Distance, spin, does all those things. They're in Wegmans. They're doing a thing, Alberta Drive today, Wegmans, from 11 to 12. Display there. So the Elixir is going to be in, I think they're going to eventually be in all 92 Wegman stores, which is great for Encore Golf. Been a sponsor of the show, TD Green, both TV and radio, for years. So congrats, guys, on that great golf ball. Try it. Local golf ball company. They also have the two-piece ball, the Avant. And then if you have trouble hitting it straight, the Caliber with the hollow metal core. Tried the one-length irons. We did a thing for TD Green TV, which will be on next week on Channel 2. And I was skeptical, like, how's this going to work? It was easy to adjust to, and Bryson, it wasn't much of an adjustment, really.
Bryson DeChambeau.
Yeah, Bryson DeChambeau, does that.
It's not a new idea. I mean, the idea's been around. I think Dave Pels might have had a set years ago that was a single-length clubs, and I remember, you know, it's been around based on the 70s. There's a certain amount of logic to it. You know, if you're in the same posture, it can lead to consistency, the same length. You know, you just change the lofts on your clubs, maybe a little softer shaft as they get a little, a little less loft to help get the ball in the air. There is logic to it. You know, I don't anticipate seeing a mass exodus to single-length clubs, but for some people, it may make them a more consistent iron player and a better player.
They're all the length of the 7-iron.
Yep,
is what
right.
They are. Okay, go away, Brian. Don't go away. Take it away, Brian.
Back here on Tee to Green at East Aurora Country Club, Brian Colziel, Kevin Sylvester, PGA Pro Jeff Mitas. You heard there that it is time now for our Encore Golf and Cobra Puma Golf. Check of the leaderboard. We go to the Wells Fargo Championship. 4-way tie for the lead, although play in round 2 has yet to complete. They're going to finish it this morning, and I wouldn't call it star power tied for the lead here. Billy Hurley III, Seamus Power, John Peterson.
Seamus.
And the it's Seamus, that's right. Yeah. Sorry.
Seamus.
Seamus. Is that how you say it?
Yeah.
There's no S in
it's
there.
It's spelled
there's no S-H.
It's spelled no Seamus, H. But it's pronounced Seamus.
Seamus.
Yes.
Very Irish.
You can see how much star power there is right there. And Francisco Molinari, who still has to complete his round. He was the round one leader.
That's fun to say.
Francisco Molinari.
At minus five. The biggest name amongst a huge group of minus four is John Rahm. Minus four. One back. And at minus three, J.B. Holmes, Patrick Reed. Minus two, Graham McDowell. Let's see some of these other bigger names. Mickelson is through his second round. He's minus one. We've got Zach Johnson minus one. Adam Scott is even. Dustin Johnson is even. And the cut is plus one. And they've got holes to play. So they could be this morning. They've got some work to do.
Tough conditions yesterday with the storms that went through and the high winds.
By the way, that also is not at Quail Hollow. That
correct.
Is at Eagle Point in Wilmington.
About 2 hours east of Charlotte, North Carolina, because Quail Hollow is hosting the PGA this year, so you can't have two tournaments at the same place, obviously. And they've redone Quail Hollow again, which I'm surprised. I thought it was an unbelievable golf course, but yep. They've done some work, so I can't wait to see that for the PGA Championship this year. So yeah, it's Eagle Point Golf Club. Guys are raving about it.
Yeah, they like it. It looks good on TV.
Yeah, the conditions that are in Dustin Johnson's return, since the Masters when he didn't play from the slip and fall, mm-hmm. If you will, and so he shot 2 under in the first round. He hasn't shot over par since I think early January.
That's well, neither have I.
Yeah, well, it's because we haven't played. Well,
yeah, exactly.
Yeah, but, you know, amazing for him. So
the other leaderboard we need to get to is, our PGA Tour Champions Tour report. And that's brought to you by Absolute Care and Orchard Brook Affordable Adult Assisted Living, the Asperity Invitational, the Woodlands Country Club going on right now. That is in Texas. Tom Lehman, 8 under yesterday in his first round. He has a 3-shot lead on Kirk Triplett and Jay Haas, who are 3 back at minus five. Your John Daly update?
I was asking.
He's tied for fourth. He's minus four. 4 off the lead. Again, a 3-round event. So Daly is right in the mix.
It's good to see. He always brings television viewers.
That's hey, right. I want to mention our winner of our Sam Putt Lab fitting, Dave Gerschbach. Congratulations. I've seen Dave Putt, by the way.
He's been at a couple of our events.
Yeah, he needs the help. So congratulations, Dave.
Very good.
That was an unnecessary shot, Dave. I'm just kidding.
That's all right. He'll appreciate it.
Yeah.
A couple other news and notes here before we talk about the players. Porter Cup. If you are a 3 handicap or less, registered USGA handicap of 3 or less, you can participate in the Porter Cup qualifier. That is on Monday, June 26th at Niagara Falls Country Club. We'll be up at Niagara Falls Country Club on June 3rd for the Women's Porter Cup and then again for the actual Men's Porter Cup on July 22nd. But if you have a 3 handicap or less, you can register and try to qualify for the Porter Cup and do so at portercup.com. Again, that info or that qualifier is on Monday, June 26th. Also, of course, one of our home clubs, part of our sponsors here on Tee to Green, Tantera, is having their open house today. From 2 to 5 o'clock. And if you want to go in, you can talk to Membership Director Don Schneider. He'll be in there giving you all the information you need. And I know today is a day that they offered if you wanted to play the course. Today, obviously, conditions aren't great, but he says if you come in today, he'll set you up with a time to come back and play it. So
can you stay to watch the horse race?
Sure, why not?
Today.
That also is today.
Right.
I got double duty today. I got Kentucky Derby radio later today from 2 to 5 from Batavia Downs.
Awesome.
So we've pooled our funds together here.
Yes.
We've got to figure out
Brian,
what we're
$3.
Doing. That was all from Jeff. We're still waiting for you, Kevin.
Yeah. Keep waiting, buddy.
That's right.
Hard to get blood from a stone.
That's right.
Let's talk about the Players' Championship next week. It is...
It's right there to me, right behind Augusta, in the sense that why does everybody love Augusta? Well, there's a billion reasons why, but part of it is everybody knows the course. And I think this has got to be number two on tour in terms of course familiarity. I mean, wouldn't you say? I don't think there's another one that people know as well. And, of course, the finishing stretch of the par 5 16th, the island hole 17th, that really tough 18th, the dogleg left with the water. Like, people know it, and it's becoming bigger and bigger every year.
And they change some of the holes, too. They change one.
Yeah, they've changed a couple things. I'll go through those changes in a second. But, yeah, it's unofficially the fifth major, mm-hmm. They call it. I mean, it's the biggest tournament on the PGA Tour as far as what the PGA Tour puts on. Remember, Augusta National puts on the Masters. The USGA puts on the US Open. The Royal and Ancient puts on the Open Championship. The PGA of America puts on the PGA Championship. You have the Tour Championship, but this is the Players. There's prestige to win the Players Championship. 48 of the top 50 in the world are going to be there. One of them, Brant Snedeker, hurt his hand at the Masters, so he is not going to play at the Players Championship. So that's one of the top 50 that's not going to play. Thomas Peters is not going to play. I forget the reason why he's not playing at the Players Championship. So those are the two. Thomas Peters and Brant Snedeker are the only two of the top 50 that are not playing in the Players Championship. There are no sponsors exemptions to the Players Championship. There are no qualifiers for the Players. It's, you know, goes by ranking in the world. So it is the strongest field in golf based upon world rankings. So it is, you know, arguably the toughest to win because of the strength of field. I think you're right, Brian, in that for the viewer, if the spectator, you know the golf course, much like Augusta National, you know the golf course. It's part of the appeal. The 17th hole, the Island Green, it's a famous hole. You have 12 at Augusta and 17 at Sawgrass. Right? And 7 at Pebble Beach, those are the famous par 3s everybody knows?
Oh, yeah. I would think those stick out. And just those three closing holes bring drama to the event. You know, we talk about how the Masters, there's always some storyline. Well, those last three holes, something always happens. You can make an eagle on 16, birdie 17, and you got to find a way to get through 18 because that's a difficult driving hole.
And I love how there are 5, a 3, and a 4.
Yep. All variety and variety of shots, decision-making. And remember the finish 2 years ago Fowler had on 17, where he sticks it close in regulation, then does it again in the playoff, makes another birdie
it
there.
Went at the flag, which
yeah.
the players
right, because it's normally
do.
All the way on the right for that final round.
I mean, pushed it.
And and the winners, too. I mean, listen to the last decade worth of winners. You had Day, who won it last year. Jason Day, who at the time, I mean, was playing just unbelievable golf. The year before that, I mentioned Fowler. Keimer, who won that year and then went on to win the U.S. Open, remember, at Pinehurst, so he had a great year. Tiger in 2013, Kuchar in 2012, KJ Choi, Henrik Stenson, Sergio Garcia, Phil Mickelson. There you go. I mean, there's your last 10 winners. That's pretty impressive.
Yeah, you have to be playing great, be a great golfer to win the Players, and that's what it's going to take next week. You know, we're going to bleed over here a little bit on WGR 550 Buffalo. The changes they've made, you know, they took away a mound between 6 and 7 and put a lake in there, a small lake or pond. So there's now another water hazard between the 6th and 7th holes. They made it a larger tee, I believe, on 1. Some of these were for spectators, but 12. The biggest change is the 12th hole. They've made it a risk reward par 4, drivable for the Players. Water on the left, so. Basically, what they did on the redesign, the way it's been described to me, is on the tee, they want the professional to say, well, I have to go for this because it's too hard to lay up on the shot. So they want the Players to go for it, and they made, because of the dog leg, they made the drop, if you hit it in the water, be about 40 yards away. So you still have a chance to make par if you put it in the drink.
And they've been dealing with drought conditions in Florida, so that ball is going to be bouncing and rolling. It'll be difficult conditions for these guys. When that golf course is firm and fast, it'll be more difficult than if it was soft and your ball would stay in those fairways. Because having played there, there's a lot of the fairways roll out. There's a lot of areas where there's bad spots to be in fairways out there on that golf course. So it is very, very exciting. It's one of those, you know, must-see weekends of golf, that's for sure.
It's a Pete Dye design original. They consulted Dye on the changes to be made, and he's on board with them. So, you know, they didn't just go in and do it. They did it right, if you will. And they put a new drive in, too. I'll be interested to see how TV does this. They put a, you know, to add to the mystique of it, too. There's a new drive in. You know, yes, yeah.
Pine Tree Lane, or
It looked pretty cool. Actually, I saw a photo of it, and it looked really cool. This long drive in, you know, to add to the mystique of going to that clubhouse, you know, at Sawgrass.
They have a cool range there too. It's a very nice range. Good facility overall.
And, you know, not that anybody listening is concerned about the Players' wallets, but it's the biggest payday of the year too. I mean, there's something up for grabs. This event has really gotten better and better. And remember, it used to be in March. They've moved it to May because May was kind of void of a big golf event, and now they have one pretty much in every one or every month, with the four majors taking up the other 4 months, but May had nothing, so they moved it from May to March. So when you see old highlights, looks a lot more the green is a little different color, you know, a little more lush from the early part of the spring, and but there might be a move to move it back coming soon with the PGA Championship possibly filling this May. Is there any latest with that there?
I've heard discussion, you know, the PGA, they move the players back to March and maybe move the PGA Championship to May because they're trying to wrap up the, you know, the PGA Tour wants to wrap it up in August before
NFL
season starts.
Right.
So they'd have their FedEx Cup in August and they'd move the PGA Championship to May and the players to March. So you'd have March would be the players, April's the Masters, May's PGA Championship, June, U.S. Open, July, British Open, and then your
August, you have the Tour Championship.
Yes,
the FedEx Cup. Yeah.
The one negative, selfishly, is that Northeast courses, they said, or even where maybe they, you know, places like Whistling Straits, places like Oak Hill, that
test run for Oak Hill
normally would be monster sites in the rotation. Can you play these in May? Let's talk about even just this week. If the PGA Championship is next week at Oak Hill, are they ready? We've had snow in May. Could you have it in Wisconsin at Whistling Straits or in Rochester? Of course you could. And are courses in the condition that they want it for what the PGA is their biggest event of the year? And I think that I've read as a big negative of moving it to May is that the Northeast courses, the more northern courses that they love to use so much, that would the course be in the shape they want it to be?
You know, it'd be wet and lush for the most part. This is an anomalous year. This is not what you normally get. They will be having the PGA Seniors at Oak Hill, which is a May event in 2019,
They just had that announced.
So that'll be coming up. So I think that's a little bit of a test run to see, you know, how this works. Last time we had the PGA Seniors up at Oak Hill, it was a bit wet and it was cold and it was long for those guys. For the regular tour players, you know, it's hard to say. There's so much staff and so much effort goes into it. As long as it's playable, I think they'd be able to pull off. Selfishly, I hope they pull it off because Oak Hill's such a neat place to have the events, and we love having them in our backyard. But the other thing they have to factor in is the Olympics were successful. So, you know, every 4 years now, the Olympics is going to be coming up in August.
That's not going to go away.
So that's not going to go away.
And
so
you're going to see more golfers going after what happened last year.
Also, let's look at the Ryder Cup. And the Ryder Cup can be moved earlier in September instead of late September if that season is moved around. And, you know, you're talking about late September Ryder Cup, at least it's here in the States. You had it in Minnesota. I think you lucked out, you know, weather-wise. I mean, things can get bad in late September in the Northeast and some of these courses that they've had the Ryder Cup at.
But that's part of the Ryder Cup, though, to me. Part of the Ryder Cup is the weather. You know, when it was at Oak Hill, there was some weather. When it was in there's always some weather to deal with. It's never hot and sunny when you're playing the Ryder Cup. They've got rain suits on and they're fighting it out. Mm-hmm. To me, that brings, I don't think that's a negative. I think the way it's like playing golf in Ireland, it's part of what you expect with the Ryder Cup. That would be my perspective on it. So I don't see it being a problem. They've already set the dates for about the next 10 Ryder Cups already. So it's going to be a little while.
All right. Well, so are you guys on board? Are you guys in favor of it? Are you guys in favor of, having the big tournament in March with the players?
I think whatever needs to be done to finish so that I've always said the best thing for the tour is that the tour championship is Labor Day Monday. I know that normally the Deutsche Bank Championship, which is the phase two of the playoffs.
It's actually now Dell Technologies.
Is that they've
Deutsche
changed. Yeah, it's gone. They've had that Monday finish, which everybody's off on Labor Day. I think it's great. And then NFL season starts. Look at golfers love golf, but they also love the NFL, and I'm in that boat. And week one of the NFL is special. People are going to watch week one of the NFL, and it's tough to compete, I think, in that level. So with that being said, my thought is the perfect ending of the golf season is can you end it Labor Day Monday, Tour Championship, final round, put it right there. And then I would work backwards from there. If that means moving the PGA Championship, then I think maybe that's something to look into.
I don't think it takes away from the PGA Championship at all. You know, it's still
moving
major.
It to May.
No, I don't think so.
It's going to get more attention because let's face it, in August,
more eyeballs. Nationally,
there is NFL preseason even that draws people away. It's the end of the summer; people are getting their last vacation. In May, the thirst for golf is much higher, I think, at that point.
Right, and I kind of like that setup that we discussed, because if you have the Players' Champion, that's a nice kickoff to the season, right? And your players are getting ready, and these people are priming themselves for the Masters, so they've had some major change, you know, they've had some good tournaments.
It feels like the season would start earlier then, too, because we say the unofficial start in the Northeast is the Masters week, but if...
Well, we'd have to start our show in March.
We would.
And that's okay.
That's right. We started
okay
the Players' Championship.
I'm for it. I think, you know, it'd be interesting what they do with the World Golf Championships, because they have two tournaments in March. They have the Mexico Championship and the match play.
Yeah.
And, you know, they'd probably have to move one of those. I think you're going to have to move some tournaments around. But it does make sense when you have your tour championship competing against the National Football League. That it does make sense to move it there. So I'm in favor. I agree with Jeff. It's not going to take away anything from the PGA Championship. I think, if anything, it'll elevate it even more being in March, being the second major instead of the last major.
And here's a quick question. I was speaking with PGA professional Tim Fries yesterday. We're talking about an event in the European Tour where they're going to put a 40-second shot clock on the players.
That's this weekend.
Is it this weekend?
Yeah, it's Golf Sixes, they call it.
Golf Sixes?
Every hole has something different. They have a long drive. They have music and fireworks on one of the holes. Mm-hmm. And one of the holes, it's a 40-second shot clock.
It's only one hole, the 40-second shot
Only one hole, 40-second shot clock.
I like
clock.
The idea
of
a 40-second shot clock all the way around.
It's going to be interesting to see how it goes. The Golf Sixes, it's two rounds. It's over 2 days, excuse me, and it's match play. Team match play.
Right? It's like 18 countries?
Yes, countries, two-man match play with it.
It sounds pretty interesting to me. They're trying a lot of different things in golf, and it's exciting to see. Instead of just the traditional format every week, we're getting a lot more formats.
All right, we're getting yelled at because we're taking extra time here. But, yell at us some more. Picks. Who's our picks?
I like Fowler.
Fowler again for the Players' Championship.
I think he was in the hunk at the Masters, and I think he's maybe a little upset about that. I still think he's playing good golf, and he loves that place. He's obviously been in contention there and won there, so I like Fowler.
I got to go DJ. I just think, he's too powerful, too good.
I'm going to go John Rahm. I'm going to take John Rahm only because you guys took Fowler and Dustin Johnson to pick somebody different. I like those picks, though.
Nate, you want to jump in with a pick here, or are you too busy trying to get us off the air?
I mean, you both kind of stole my thunder. You know that I'm a Ricky guy, and I was probably going to go Ricky. But I have to go DJ.
Well, you can.
I'm going to go DJ. He's been too good to not.
Okay. All right. Sounds good.
All that said, McIlroy's going to win. Newlywed Rory McIlroy.
That's right. Hey, before we go here, one of our presenting sponsors, Custom Turf, I know we've heard from Steve Beattie last week. I know we're going to see them next week on the TD Green TV side.
Correct,
but,
yes.
But if you ever thought about getting something done in your backyard or in your basement in terms of a putting green, they've got a lot of great stuff. You get a chance to check it out next week on TV.
Yeah, we filmed an interview. TD Green TV is on next week, 5:30 a.m. on Saturday. DVR that or watch it right before the Players' final round on Sunday, 1:30 p.m. Next Sunday. Right before the Players' coverage comes on NBC Channel 2 and filming it, I want this green.
Yes.
I mean, what a thing to have in your yard or your basement.
And if you can't play golf today, go enjoy a fine dinner down at Bacchus Restaurant on Chippewa and Franklin tonight. It'll make up for not being able to play golf, believe me.
Right.
Brian, make sure you pick the right trifecta for us.
I'll try.
Later.
I'll be on at 2.
Excellent.
2 to 5 from Davey Towns for the Kentucky Derby Show, and then I'll try to win us some money.
Please do.
I'll be listening.
All right. Thanks to Nate Geary back in our Amherst studios for keeping us in control here in the reins and on the air. We appreciate that. And everybody here at East Aurora, we want to thank also General Manager George Mincer, who, of course, takes care of us here. We've got Drew Thompson, Jeff Kamian as well, who just came in as well, and David Jones, the PGA professional. And for PGA Pro, Jeff Medes, Kevin Sylvester, I'm Brian Colziel. Tee to Green, it'll be up on our on-demand audio vault at WGR550.com. I'll tweet it out in a little bit at BrianWGR. Don't forget to check out our own website, T2GreenRadio.com. We will be at Craigburn Country Club next week.
Nice facility.
Yes, looking forward to that. Talk to you next week right here every Saturday at 7, Tee to Green on WGR.
Buffalo, 98.5 FM.
In the next round, or if Washington can force Boston into a long series, or if Houston can bounce back, start hitting some threes, because I'd rather watch Houston Golden State than San Antonio Golden State. That's just me, but we can get into that a little bit more. Mm-hmm. We're brought to you by the free 18 birdies that make your phone the best club.
RingCentral will completely transform the way you work.
It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations. There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With MasterClass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With MasterClass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch MasterClass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from MasterClass to their lives. MasterClass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. masterclass.com/audio.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detecttheSOS.com to learn more.